Welcome, everyone, to the Abundance Formula Podcast. My name is Gina Oldham, practitioner of prosthetics and orthotics, fitness expert, business owner, lifestyle entrepreneur, and four-time national bikini competitor. This podcast was created to empower people to build abundant lives for themselves, lives that are purposeful, fruitful, and send a ripple effect through the world. From short motivational segments to game-changing conversations with highly successful and abundant people, be ready to learn the formula of common actions, thought patterns, and principles that create abundant living. Whether it be your mindset, health, business, or relationships, the Abundance Formula has what you need to uplevel your life to the one you're called to live. So here we go. Hey everyone, I have a quick announcement before I launch in and tell you guys who this week's guest is on the podcast. This is a really special announcement that's near and dear to my heart. We have the sweetest little neighbor named Addison, who's 13 years old, and she lives across the street from us. And she's literally the heart of the neighborhood. She's the most positive, sweet. She's always outside. She's always friendly and inclusive. Like, she's the best little kid. And we found out maybe a month or so ago at this point that she has a bone cancer in her knee. And so they're treating that with chemo now and doing everything they can for that. And so we want to do everything we can to help this family. So I'm actually going to start a GoFundMe for them this weekend and to help with medical expenses. They have other kids, and obviously this was a surprise. They found out actually because she wanted to do cross country, and cross country, and maybe it was volleyball, something like that. So increasing her running and stuff like that is how her knee all of a sudden started getting really swollen and painful. And so that's when they did an x-ray and MRI, and it just kind of, they could tell signs something wasn't right, and things just kind of led, one thing led to another. So I'm going to start a GoFundMe for them to help with medical expenses. Her school has been amazing, and they are about to launch pretty soon some really sweet t-shirts in her honor to fundraise as well for medical treatments. So once I have that link available, I want to share that on here with you guys, and we can help support them in this time. So if you would like to be on a list to be notified as soon as that is available, let me know, because I'll go ahead and start a list of you that want to know when I have that link live, and then I can send it directly to you. And then of course I'll be announcing it on the podcast as well in the future, hopefully by the next podcast. So that's my first announcement. I would love anybody who wants to help support our sweet little neighbor, Addison, and help her get through this journey and through her cancer treatment, and just help her family. She's got a four-year-old little sister. So just really support them and rally around them, because I can't even imagine what that would be like. So that's the first announcement. And the next announcement is our epic guest this week is named James Dixon, and he is a top five worldwide motivational keynote speaker, international best-selling author. He's CEO of Absolute Motivation Brand, which is also his YouTube channel with 1.46 million subscribers and over 200 million views. He's worked with both Fortune 500 companies, professional sports organizations, and is a dedicated amputee advocate. He's an amputee himself, below the knee on one side. And I met him actually through my profession, which is being a practitioner in prosthetics. And I met him earlier this year in April at my CEU's meeting for my Georgia license in Georgia. And they brought him in to be the first kind of speaker, which usually it's always, you know, reps that are talking about the new technologies and things like that. But I loved that they started this meeting with him, and he was, you know, as far as this meeting went, reminding us as prosthetists, so oftentimes we are one of the first people that makes an amputee believe they can be something more than where they are at that point, which was super powerful. And that's just one of the little things that he obviously shared with us, focused on our niche. But he shares so much inspiration with the entire world, which has caught on. He inspires from amputee to non-amputee. He's an amazing businessman at this point. Like, there's so much that has grown and developed through his life from where he started. And he will, of course, go through his whole backstory with you all, telling what it looked like in the beginning, how everything developed, a couple different breakthrough stories for him. I mean, this, I love everything about this interview. It's so fire. You guys are going to be completely inspired by the time that you leave. I'm doing a giveaway for his book, and I'll make sure to announce that on social media. So stay tuned there for how you can get a free copy from me of his book, Absolute Motivation. That's the international bestseller. So let's dive in with James. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Abundance Formula Podcast. Today's guest, I am so excited about. His name is James Dixon. We've been trying to get this on the books for maybe 8 months now. I met him way back in maybe April, and he was so inspirational. I met him at one of my orthotic and prosthetic CEU meetings in Georgia for my Georgia license. And I just knew that this guy was meant to come into the podcast for me to meet him, because so many things came in my way to coming to that event. And I literally even had to leave the event early, but I was there long enough to hear you. And I knew that was a God thing to cross your path. So I'm so grateful to have you on, because I just feel this is meant to be for everyone to get to know who you are. So thank you so much for being here, James.
Well, I'm honored to be on. Not only is it an honor, I find it a privilege, because I view you as like a superhero. What you do for amputees, literally, for you, you may call it a job, a career. You may call it many things, but for me, it's life. Without you, we don't walk. If we don't walk, we don't have an achievement of dreams and goals. So I thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. And with that, let's go ahead and tell everybody your backstory, who you are, and how you've arrived at where you are today, and the things you're doing today to impact the world.
Oh, this is awesome. It feels like a dream. I am a kid who was born with a disability. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. At 3 months of age, I had my first surgery. By the time I was 11, I had 31 surgeries, and the only thing that was left was an amputation of my lower right leg. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just woke up, and it was gone. They made the decision for me, but there was no support around me. I never knew an amputee after that, and so I felt a sense of shame, rejection, and embarrassment. So I muted myself and tried to fit in an able-bodied world and didn't want anyone to know what I had gone through. But what I had gone through turned me into something. And as a result of that now, I do travel the world, share my story, and I started it all with YouTube. And now here I am talking to you.
Oh, that's so awesome. I know when we first heard you at the meeting, I loved, and I would love if you share with everybody a bit of the story of you trying out for the basketball team, because I feel like what you gained through that experience was kind of groundbreaking in where you ended out taking your life. Remember that basketball story about trying out for the team?
Oh, no, man, I got to tell you, not only is I going to remember, that was epic in my life.
It was.
You see, I needed to. So one of the things that happened to get to the basketball story, I have to give a little bit of backstory. So I was when I was in the Shriners, I heard the nurse tell me that one day I would do everything every other kid does. I'd play basketball and all those things. My mom walks in a day after my amputation. Here's the nurse telling me that and says, please don't give my son false hope. I look back at the nurse. My mom gets upset, and she said, why are you looking at her when I'm the one talking to you? And then all of a sudden, I started believing that maybe it was quite possible that I could do like every other kid. I could play basketball. I could run. I could do things, even though I'd never done that in my life. I'd never taken a step on my own without a walker or some assistance. But I believed because of that nurse. I said, I want to play basketball. And my mom reaches over and said, you're dreaming. You're coming up with stuff that'll never happen. You're a cripple. Do you understand? And she slapped me and said, now say that you understand. And I said, Mom, I'm a cripple, and I nearly broke. My grandmother comes in, encourages me, tells me I should try. I should go after. So basketball became the one place I thought, if I could make this team, I'll prove to everyone that I'm human, that I belong, that I'm worthy of love, of acceptance, that I'm more than a cripple. So I try out for the team and I get cut. And when I was looking for my name on the list and it wasn't there, it was a setback for me. But then I stepped up. I figured I'd just work harder. And I put in a lot of work, and I tried out, I ran back and forth. I did every exercise they used to cut me. I did that every morning from 4 a.m. before going to school, and I did it after school, so that the next year I tried out with the idea that they're never going to cut me again. But one of the things that happened in the abundant crew will understand what this is about, is that I gave more effort, and as a result, I got more out of myself than I knew possible. And when I was trying out, that an incident happened where I dislocated my knee and had to push it back in place because it had happened before. And I knew I didn't have time to wait 6 weeks to recover. I had to make this team. I had to show them. And the one thing amputees can always do is hop on one leg, though we shouldn't, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was doing that until I got enough strength under me that I could go on both. And I started running. And as I began to run, I was like, I'm going to make this team. They're not cutting me. And because of that determination, my dream of making it was made. But it's not just about making the team. It was validation as a person that no matter what I had lost, it turned me into something. And I couldn't let them cut me because it was more than a game to me. It was acceptance and validation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. And I love that you didn't even the players come start running the suicides
they
with you after that?
They ran beside me. They cheered with me. They finished the suicides with me. They refused. You see, that's the thing about energy, man. If you give something, you go all out. Whatever you face must also face you. And when you face it, your challenges, other people see that. They see what drives you. They join in. That energy attracts energy. And when they started running with me, he couldn't cut me because it would have been cutting them. We had become one through my trial. Mm-hmm. Through my effort, for me trying to become something, for me trying to show I'm just as good as them, they made me one of them.
Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, because I think so many people struggle with this in whatever the different way that it is, but how can people start reworking past identities, these past lies that they believe, you know, how your mom made you say, I'm a cripple. And like you were in this containment of like, this is the lie that you are forced to believe. What do you do to break that so you can then step into what you're really called to be?
Well, for me, you have to look for light in some of your darkness. And sometimes the light is a teacher, a nurse, or it can be a process that tells you, no, that something's possible, even if it's never been done in your family. If you're the first in your bloodline. And for me, I started writing down these principles, these goals. I was setting goals for myself. I said, I want to do this one day. And I set them down, and then I began to conquer them. And the more I conquered one, it gave me the ammunition, and it gave me respect and a resume with myself. So I would apply to a new goal with the passion and experience of the last goal. And every time I did that, I found that as I kept notes, and the one thing I would probably tell anyone listening and anyone that would see this, you have to take notes, because the story that you are writing is going to change somebody else's life. You may not see it now, but whatever your opposition is, whatever obstacles, whatever people tell you you can't be, you're going to prove them wrong by what you pull out of yourself. But the how to and how you do that can become the thing that changes your life. When you met me, in April, I didn't even have a book out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
In fact, I didn't decide until March 23rd that I was going to write a book. When I met you, I was like, this is April 14th. I was like, man, I'm going to do something with this. I'm going to write a book. By July, I wrote a book. By July 26th, I had a bestseller. By the 24th of August, I had an international bestseller. All it was me coming off of mute and giving a voice to those dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't have done it without a process. I wouldn't have done it without people like you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's huge to just, you know, one of the things you're really good at, and I had also wanted to ask you, a line I heard you say once was, my role in life is to be the spark plug to your will. And I think this is one of your spiritual gifts, is you're good at helping people tap into that next level will to get through those places where you don't know what the breakthrough is going to be. You don't know the steps to take. You're in that kind of in-between space. How do you help people? You go in and you coach these, because one of the things you didn't have was somebody coming to your bedside telling you, hey, look, I don't have a leg and this is what I'm doing and you can do this, and believing in somebody. How do you, and what are some of the things you tell these people that they maybe have heard this diagnosis of, you won't potentially walk again, or you can't do X, Y, Z. How do you help people tap into the will to do that thing that's really down in their deep for them to do, and they just gotta tap into it?
You're asking me a great question. And so I'm gonna give you a secret, and here's an answer. One that will resonate with many, but it should spark all. When you see me, you see what you don't see all the time is this prosthetic. You see, this limb represents more than my ability to walk. It represents the principle in which I get up and move. What that says, if you can't see it, Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things. It's not a motivational quote, it's a promise. It's by my faith, it's by my commitment to God, but it's also God's commitment to me, that if I do it for him, he will empower me to do it for them. And so if there had been somebody that would walk in and tell me that I can make it, that in spite of my imperfections, in spite of me losing a leg, God still loves me, God still welcomes me, that without a father, I still had a father in him. If I would have had somebody there for those reasons, it would have given me so much hope. And so I've decided I'm going to be there for somebody else. Mm-hmm. I'm determined that I need to be there. And when I couldn't be there, that's why I started making videos for other people. Then I went from videos to writing a book so that I can leave words with them. I could leave a legacy with them, because it was through his word that I wrote my word. It was based on what he told me about me.
Yeah. Well, so in bringing that up, so tell us about, you know, what it looked like in that phase where you kind of had that revelation, you walked off your job. I remember you telling us about that. You walked off your job. What did you do next? How did you get into, what did the start of this, you know, amazing business empire you've now built, how did that come about? Because that wasn't your background. That wasn't your story. Like, what did that look like?
Let me say this, man. This is amazing. I quit my job and it wasn't easy because I have kids I have to take care of. I quit my job and it wasn't easy because I didn't get into that job on my own. I was a legacy kid, which means someone had to use their reference, their experience, their name to give me the opportunity. It was third generation at the factory. In me leaving the job, abandoning the job, felt like I was somewhat abandoning the opportunity that others had provided for me. It was good enough for my grandmother, my grandfather, my mother. Why wasn't it good enough for me? I had to separate myself from the idea that I needed to be loyal to the job, because at the end of the day, the job will never show up at your grave. Job won't come to your funeral. Something happens to you, they will replace you instantly. And so this is what I did. I quit and I just stepped out on faith. And there was a lie that's been permeated all throughout the world that it's not that easy. It actually was easy. But it wasn't easy because of effort. It was easy because I found my passion. And where you find passion, where you chase your pursuit, and where you pursue the thing you love, if you can chase that, opportunities come, profit comes, doors open, people will connect with you. People move to where you are. They will come to where you are. They'll follow that because it's authentic. And so if you would have told me that I would end up earning more in months, 6 months, than I had made in the previous 11 years, it wouldn't have made sense. Quitting my job, stepping out on faith, what would that have looked like? Burning the bridge to try to, with no way back over it? Would I advise people to just step out of faith? Not if you don't know for absolute certain, this is what I was born to do. This is my calling.
Mm-hmm. And so what did you do? So you walked off the job and you just went home and started taking videos, and or like, what did some of the work look like that you started doing to make this become real? You got some entrepreneurs that listen to this. Yeah, let's hear the how-to.
I'm going to give you the how-to. I'm going to give you the secret sauce. Ready? I literally, I was getting out of my car, headed to the gym, and it came up to me. Someone was on the phone and made a little neighbor comment, and it was kind of like saying, what you do in the dark comes to the light. Have you ever heard that?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, but it dawned on me that that can't be just a negative, that somehow God just wants to expose you for the negative you've done and want to bring out what you've done in the dark for everyone to see. It just doesn't sound like God. And so I got to thinking about it and decided to make a video. So I grab my phone, I turn it around, and I'm doing something like this, and I've got it all set up, and I'm looking at it, and I go, just off the heart, I go, what you do in the dark will come to the light. But what you do in the dark, the conversations, the work you do with God when no one else is watching, will open doors for you. You see, the work that is done in the dark begins at midnight. It's a brand new day, yet it's dark. It's not about the mistakes you made yesterday. It's about the decisions you make today. And because you did the work in the dark when no one else is watching, God will one day put your name up in lights. So as I said that, I was walking from a dark place and the light was on. I woke up and it's like 900,000 views on that, you know? And all my videos were just doing it. Now, I started in 2014 doing the videos and making them collaborative and all this type of thing, and it wasn't really catching on. But the more authentic I got and the more I wasn't trying to perform or look for how many likes did I get on this? Does this work? Oh, they like this. Or did I stayed true to my mission. I was making it for amputees, and then it became something veterans, and then it became everybody's anthem to listen to. So it wasn't just about the leg. It was about the spirit, right? Mm-hmm. And the next thing I know, YouTube went to millions of views. And then one day, we were at 32 million. Then by April, when I met you, we were at 67 million. And today, I'm at 200 million.
Mm-hmm.
In that same period of time, guys that were the icons in motivation, guys like Tony Robbins, they went from, Tony Robbins was at 61 million views in his career, and he's at 68 today. That means I tripled my idol, if you will, in less than 6 months, because the message came from the heart. And when it comes from the heart of God, he puts it into the heart of man, and people respond.
Yes. I love that. And I love how you talk about too. Like, I think people, especially even as entrepreneurs, it's hard when you're, and especially too, and maybe you can talk on this a little bit, which is obviously a whole faith journey, but it's like, you know, when you do got to make the money, right? It's hard to stay in the faith place where you're like, I know God, if I'm following the right, I'm following what the revelation was to me. I don't know the timing of how it's all going to come. So you get worked up and hustling for the money, but at the same time, you know, the path is through the service, like you're saying. When you just serve, you don't have to fight for the people. You don't have to fight for the views or fight for the likes. Like, he's already got the people out there that are meant to hear you and to get it. And so you just have to keep showing up. And I think that's the hardest thing for us, releases the timing of things and the faith that, well, to get to the place I feel like I need to be to take care of my family or whatever, that's where we have to give that to him. And instead of think it's on us to do. And that's so hard. What advice do you have for people where they're just in that place? They're trying, they're doing the work, but they got to let go of the time. You're like, oh, I should be at a certain place by this age. I should be whatever it is this time. What do we do about this timing thing?
See, here's what's wild about that. I'm going to give you it's a principle that is tried and true, right? When Job was on top, the country, the town, everyone benefited from it. And when he lost everything, people struggled, like, how can a good principled person lose everything? Why do good things happen? Bad things happen to good people. That whole concept, I've been doing the right thing. I'm trying to serve God. I want to be faithful. I'm trying to be ethical. Why is it that it seems like people who shouldn't be win? And then there's something that happens that you get tried and you develop your testimony and you lose image, right? And when you divorce the idea of an image, you stop trying to be what people think you should be and you become authentic. You kind of lose the desire. Like, sometimes it happens for other people when they turn of a certain age that they stop caring about people pleasing. They start just, this is who I am. You have to love me as I am. Sometimes women can get there faster than men can because they'll get to the point where you need to love me as I am, not just when I'm made up, not a physique, I'm more than a look. You got to accept me as I am, ups, downs, or not at all. And then when you get to that point, right, when you're willing to just be authentic and say, this is me, genuine, when you get there, you're pure. And when you're pure, man, I can tell you this, when you're authentic and you stop trying to people please, God has a way of restoring and building you up bigger than you were before. And an audience comes to you because you're something that they can't be without him. Mm-hmm. You see, everyone noticed that they did better when Job was on top. And so when everyone came to network with him, it built their net worth as well, mm-hmm. because he was a giver. And when he was not in position to give, everyone fended for themselves. You see, some of you have a gift, someone has a talent, so you have a platform that is opening up doors that is not just based off of your content, it's your character. And the more pure you are with it, the more authentic you are with it, people will navigate to it. It's like a GPS. They zone in and say, you've arrived. This is the right one, because you're saying stuff that everyone else isn't saying. It can look the same as a podcast on the outside as Joe Rogan, but it can be even more pure because you're talking about something authentic. It's just you sharing who you are and why you were called to do it. And as a result of it, an audience comes to that. Mm-hmm. Don't study what others do. Do what they're not willing to. Be pure with it. And here I am now. You know how many times that I may have lost short-term money in order to become who I am now? How many times that people have asked me not to say so much about my faith? And so I have to find a unique way to say it. So they say, you want to do a TEDx? It's the pathway to getting to the top. You can't mention your faith. You're going to leave that out. Next thing I know, I have more views than anyone who's ever done a TEDx.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need those. And yeah. Now you know what they offer me? TEDx is all over the place because they want my message. They're like, man, you made it. You skipped it. How in the world did you not go over getting 1,000 to speak, 400 to speak here, 1,000 to 5,000, work your way up, follow under to be an understudy. It just went from here to here. How did that happen? You're an overnight success. No, I'm 18,000 nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something people don't see is all that. Yeah, like you said, it's the things even prior to this point, like you said, the basketball tryouts, the waking up at 4 a.m., the not making the team, like all of those things. Do you think that if you hadn't been through all those things, if God would have said, hey, this is all that you're going to have to hold, that you would have been just terrified and it would have been a curse as opposed to a blessing? I think that's what people don't realize is they hate the pain they're going through right now, but they don't know it's rebuilding the strong enough foundation to handle what's coming.
And you cannot have valor without going through war. Yeah. You have to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, man, even though I encourage everyone, I'm always one layer from tearing up myself, only because I'm always mindful of the fact that I am accountable and responsible. Was accountable whenever I would leave the home. My grandmother would say, whose are you? And what she was talking about was, I'm God's child and I'm your grandchild. And she said, then carry yourself as such. And so whenever I'm out, I'm mindful that I represent my ancestry and I represent my children and I represent my faith. And so every time I speak from the heart, I speak from the soul. I talk with passion and purpose. I'm not worried about growing attached to wealth and things like that and losing my touch, because I know that I'm blessed to have the privilege to speak on behalf of God. And that every time I get a chance to talk, I get to be authentic because it is who I am, and I'm only sharing who I am. I don't have a performance. I don't have an act I go into. I don't have a particular speech. When I went to speak where you heard me on April 14th, I didn't know what I was going to say until I walked up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, But I just pray God use me. And I arrived, and I poured my heart out, and I left. Whatever happens, happens. And at the time, I was thinking about, I was going to make, maybe I write a book called Found. And it was like, no, that's not the way God had for me. Mm-hmm. And he pulls it together. He takes you in a different direction and all those things. But this abundant life, he said he would give us abundance. But it's abundance when you get abundant of him. And that way you can give people not out of your own cup, but out of your saucer. That's out of your overflow. And mm-hmm. only he can give that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And all that next level success, that abundance comes in my opinion as well. Like when you've given it all, when you've given it all to him so he can make it as, you know, we think we can make it as big as we think, but it's like his is just so much, as he says, more abundantly beyond what we could ask or imagine.
Yeah.
And I love your story of, you know, skipping the TEDx, because honestly, you know, God's not bound by the rules of this world, and he will happily prove that to us and everybody else over and over again through each of our stories if we'll let him do it. And I just think that's so, you know, cool. And through your story, and I did want to ask you, because back when we met, I remember you were promoting or, you know, talking about the book as Found. So tell everybody about the book, what it is actually called now, because I did notice there was a name change, a shift. And I want, you know, to tell people about the book.
Oh, you're going to love this. This is crazy. So when I met you, I had come off stage on April 23rd. I had a thing called Secret Knock, man. I meet all these billionaires, millionaires, and movie stars there. And people are like, hey, you need to write a book. We loved you on stage. You know, I was like, okay. And I meet some of the biggest names in book writing. In fact, at the time, I had Mark Victor Hansen and from Chicken Soup for the Soul saying, listen, I'll write the book with you. And I want it out there so that everyone can hear it. And I was like, okay. And then he's like, all you got to do is give me $35,000 and then you'll give up 90% of whatever you would make off of it. Sign here. And I was like, he said it'll sell more if you're willing to make it fiction. And it'll be a young white kid from Kansas, and they tell me this story, and I'm like, I can't do it. They're like, okay, I tell you what, we've got other people who are willing to put money into it for you, and I've got the owner of this company, he's willing to put money into it, and we can do all these things. And I'm like, nah, I can't do it. And so I shared with what I wanted to do. I said, I wanted to write, but I don't want to pay people that. And I don't want to give up my story because it's my testimony. And so Greg Reed, a guy who wrote, he's a part of the Napoleon Hill Think and Grow Rich, all of those type of books and stuff like that, is talking to me. And I was able to go ahead and write my own book, name it after my channel, mm-hmm. the YouTube channel, Absolute Motivation. Keep the faith, share my testimony, put Romans Road into it. Lead started with scripture. I didn't have to edit God out of it. And let me tell you what happened. This is going to be awesome. The book, and literally the day it came out, I think it was July 23rd on Kindle. In July 26th on paperback, was a bestseller when I woke up that next morning. Mm-hmm. I didn't even get a chance to promote it. I put it on one video on at the end of our Absolute Motivation YouTube channel, and the book just took off. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to sell anything or take God out, and I ended up with an international bestseller. Mm-hmm. That I was then given an award for in London. I flew back yesterday. You're the mm-hmm. first to see this.
Yeah. You love the Hall of Fame. Yes.
I made the Hall of Fame as an international best-selling author. And I did it in less than 40 hours.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Man, tell me God isn't able, man. I wish you would say I was so principled and he did it. Man, I was tempted. I mean, if you had a man who told you he sold 500 million copies, he has expertise. He's done more than I have in life and stuff. He had a better name and all those things. And I was like, that's not how I'm moving then. You see, there's a flow that was once Old Testament, this one's new, and you are new. There's a promise in you. And he said, don't sell out what God told you, trying to overhear what he said to someone else.
Yeah.
That eavesdrop, you don't need it. You can get your own small, still voice. And he was like, nah, go ahead and do it. So, man, I didn't even put it in the Christian categories where I could win easily, get it by putting it in the subculture. No, I put it in the business and mentoring and coach against every other book that is ever out there. And to still get those results, come on, man. Only God, you know?
Yes. Yes. And I love how you brought up that, you know, that word intuition. And of course, you know, that listening to that still small voice, because one video I had come across of yours when I was kind of prepping for this, I was working out and stuff, and I came across your video with the lion, and you said, you know, the lion can grow up in captivity and be raised there, and it be all that it knows. And just thinking of your story about, again, you'd never walked, you'd always, you know, never had a, you know, the limb that worked. Nobody in your immediate surroundings was telling you could do it. In fact, making you verbally say out loud that you couldn't do it, and all the things. So the lion is in captivity, but there's a reason that they still lock the cage. I was like, that is so good. And how you're saying, you know, that is in you. And when you hear that call that you're meant to be outside the boundaries that you're locked in, I thought, oh, everybody's got to hear this. I've got to bring it up on the podcast. And so that intuition, you know, whether people are familiar with God or they're not, you know, they're just lost in life in general right now. How do they plug into that voice, and what do they do with it?
Oh, man, I tell you what, here's the number one thing you got to do. Stop listening to everyone else. You see, people will tell you that the king of the jungle is what? What would they say? What's the answer to that? Who's the king of the jungle?
The lion.
Right. But no lion lives in the jungle. They live in the desert, right? Yeah. So the king of the jungle is actually the tiger. Well, we are so accustomed to being told something that we don't challenge it. That's why I was like, stop taking the opinions of others as facts. And realize that, question it. You know, it's like, man, but is that may be true to everyone else. The king of the jungle is the lion. And then you're like, wait a minute. Lions don't even live in jungles. It's the tiger that lives in the jungle. Uh-huh. And there's a reason why everyone else, if you're following a path that everyone else is on, is probably not the right one for you. Yours will be unique and yours will be different. Don't discount however you grew up. If me losing a leg, they're like, man, if I had that backstory, it'd be easy to tell something inspirational. No, whoever you are, you already have a story. It's unique. It's like a thumbprint. It's totally different than anyone else who has ever existed. We all might have lines, but we don't have your line. Yours is different. If you were raised with success around you, there's still pressure for you to be successful. How did you manage that? That's a story. If you were born poor, if you were born with both parents and there was expectation or divorce or whatever had happened, everybody has a drama or trauma story that develops you, and there's value in it. So instead of following the path of others or wishing you could envy something else that someone else has, the great thing about Christianity is this. You can be whatever you envy. You don't have to envy. If he did it for one, he will do it for you, for he is not a respecter of persons, but you're a person. Yeah, you deserve respect. Your story is worthy. You just got to be willing to open your mouth and let it out. And there are people who need it, because only you can say it that way. And so when that video you're talking about that you like, about being caged, man, I was laying in my bed and that woke me up that night. And I just grabbed the microphone and I just shared it from my heart, recorded it, and I was done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that morning we put it out and it just rung a bell, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of that, because I know you obviously are a coach and you are a mentor, obviously, even in business. And I know you had posted something like you're going to start teaching some speakers and things now. What's some of the things that you teach? Because I think a lot of people know they've got a story, but they don't know how to tell it or how to tell it, especially if most people have pain or have process. But it's like, well, how do you speak not from the wound, but from a way that's like, just get, you know, you're not trying to necessarily tear people's names down, but at the same time, it is your story. How do you help people figure out their story to share?
And probably the best way to do it is You borrow principles from a process. You see, they come in and they tell you, unlike everyone else, you've got a story to tell, and I'm going to put you on stages of how to do it. Boy, hip hop, da 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 da, and they go all that hype. No, I removed that. I tell you, you've got to go through something to become something. And if you have a story, it's about finding a way for you to be authentic and tell that story. You don't have to have my voice. You don't have to resonate the way I resonate for you to be able to speak into the hearts and lives of men. There are folks out there, there are sheep that will only hear your voice and they'll respond and they'll follow. But you got to learn how to tap into it. And so we work through that, help you uncover that. And then once we uncover that, we help you with your story that you open, you close, and then I provide you with places to stand and be able to speak and give that. And then I walk them and I develop them, and I have the ability. What's unique is that I never felt it was supposed to be a platform just for me. You see, I believe that I was supposed to ignite a movement, and that there are speakers, there are podcasters, there are people out there that don't realize that it's all about connections. Sometimes the only reason why you don't have the opportunities is because you're who you're connected with. You just haven't met the right person. You haven't been in the right room. And so the fact that I can take immediately and put someone on to an audience that's larger than the Super Bowl, right? So they celebrated this. They were like, Deion Sanders, Coach Primetime. Man, he had some of the biggest games in college football history this year. 9 million people watched the game. And I'm like, wow, 9 million is huge, right? Mm-hmm. And then when I got the statistics back, the analytics, and it said, this month, 62 million people watched your videos. You realize how massive that is. Mm-hmm. And so I can take and take someone from the back of the room trying to find a space and put you on a platform and give you an arena to that allows you to speak to the world. Most speakers would be loved. It's like, man, how many people did you speak to at your last event? And even though I have like hundreds of people that were there in London, I was telling them I'm never speaking to hundreds. Every day I'm averaging 295,000 people listening to my speech. That gives me a tremendous platform. But much is given, much is required. And I believe it's required out of me to open the doors for others. So if you are there, so you know anyone, they've got an authentic message, something genuine, something burning in your heart. Be honest with you, I would prefer, I see there's a lack of women in this space. You know, a lot of guys that you can name off, but there's very few women that you can name off. I want to open doors and create a team that has the opportunity. I want to give them that opportunity. I want to expand and so they can make impact. So it's not a man, it's a movement. It's all of us. Absolute motivation comes to the heart. And so coaching people is to give them that platform.
That's awesome. Well, can you tell everybody kind of anything else you've got coming up they need to be involved in, look out for? Obviously, where do they get the book? I'll make sure and have a link in the show notes to get your book as well. What do people need to look out for and what you're excited about right now?
Here's what I would like you to look out for. This year, in 24, there will be a documentary coming out. There's great work that I have in the works with some major, major companies that want to work with me doing some things. And so I ask that you do one thing, pray for me. Because I'm walking in fields I've never seen before. And the dreams that I had were too small. Like you tell someone like, hey, I want to write a book. And then what happens when it has massive success? And you're like, okay, I didn't know that my dream was should have been even bigger, right?
Yeah.
And then you get there and you're like, wow, a movie. And then you have other people. You have like literally I've a syndicated national television program has talked to me and asked me to come on. I mean, so many opportunities come up. So I just ask you guys, pray for me, pray for wisdom, the right opportunities. You know, And so I don't have anything to plug. I would appreciate, you know, anyone that's going through limb loss is hard and feel like a private funeral. I want you to give them hope and inspiration. And so the book, it talks about me losing a leg, but finding purpose, and how the loss of our limbs could be the finding of your purpose in life, an opportunity. And you can reach me if you need help or anything. I make myself accessible to be a peer mentor at any place, anytime. I would never be too big. I would never go away from the fact that I have an accountability to each and every one of you. It's a process. There was a time where I used to push companies. I don't push a company anymore. I push the cause. I have to be bigger than brands because there are people that need. They need that. I want them to see me, and I need to see them. And so you would do give them a copy.
Yes, for sure. And I'm definitely going to do a giveaway, everybody. I'll come up with something and announce that I'll give away one of his books on me for Christmas time for you guys. So we'll come up with a share the episode kind of thing and tag us. And then I'll draw a random winner and I'll send you guys a copy of his book. Tell everybody where to find you and follow you on social media and, of course, YouTube, so they make sure they can follow you. And again, that'll be in the show notes, easy for them to tap as well.
So on YouTube, it's Absolute Motivation. That's the name of the channel. Subscribe, find encouragement there. In every video, there's an amputee. Just whether you realize it or not, there's always someone with limb differential in every video, because I'll never not acknowledge who we are and what we go through. And so every video has one, has someone in it. But see, that's another thing. Oh, Instagram. Mm-hmm. Superman is the number 4 real. Superman is for real. The book is available on Amazon. I really don't have a lot to plug because I really just want to say thank you. I want to plug the show. I want to plug the opportunity that we have. When you share, like, subscribe, share, and you tell the story about this podcast, you help a whole lot of people. You do so much more than just help us. You're a voice as well for us. And I appreciate that.
Of course. I'm happy to be a part of the mission for sure. Totally, totally. Well, the last question I love to ask everyone is, what living an abundant life means to you? And if someone were to ask you how they could start to build an abundant life for themselves, what would you tell them?
Well, it is this. Man, you're going to love this one. So write this down. I'm going to use an illustration of using Adam and Eve. They had everything available to them. That's called abundance. But they focused on the one rule, which you can't have. And when you focus on that one thing, you can miss out on everything because you're focused on the one thing. It's stepping over $100 bills to get to the one penny and complain about the fact that you got one penny, because that's all you focused on. And so after they focused on that and they focused on the lack became all they had because it cost them everything. We too make the same mistake. Don't focus on what you don't have. If you don't have money to start to write a book, then write it yourself. Publish it yourself. Tell your story. You have the same access as everyone else through social media. Start a YouTube channel and just start talking. Go live on your Facebook and just start talking. Start sharing your story. You don't have lack. You have opportunity. But until you start talking, sometimes you'll start with an audience of one. That's just you and God. And then there'll be other people who start listening. Then you got two people. If you stay consistent, it'll become 10. You stay committed and authentic, it'll go to 50. And those 50 will turn into 1,000. And then that can turn into a national syndicated show. Focus on the abundant opportunities. Not your lack.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope that you love this episode and that it was able to help you move in the right direction towards building the life that you want. If you take just a quick moment to leave us a positive 5-star review, I'd be so, so grateful, and share with any friends that you think would love it. This not only helps spread the mission of this podcast, but it helps to open the door to even more amazing guests and opportunities to better support you in amplifying your success and overflowing your cup with abundance. Thanks again, guys, and catch you on the next one.